I miss Pip when she's not here. I think I'm codependent.
Maybe a little bit.
Codependent with my dog.
Yeah. Hey, did you know that pickles have like close to zero calories?
Oh, that, I mean, it makes sense. It's cucumbers.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, wow. What a delicious low-calorie snack. And now I want a pickle. Do you have a favorite kind of pickle?
I used to hate pickles.
Girl, me too. It's only been very recently that I am slowly but surely mm-hmm. enjoying pickles.
I like them on stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to just like eat one by itself necessarily.
Yeah. I've always loved the scent of like the vinegary, garlicky, like dill pickles. Mm-hmm. But it's always the texture that got me. But recently I've been like, I don't care. I just want the pickle.
I like one with a good snap.
Mm. Yeah.
My sister, when we were little, she would like lick something to decide if she liked it. And so I remember her, we had little, like the little sweet pickles. Mm-hmm. That's what my dad would eat. And she would like licked one time and was like, and put it back in the jar.
Oh, uh-huh. Gross.
That's why you shouldn't eat food from a house that has small kids in it.
Because you never know whose mouth has been around the orange juice container.
They probably licked some pickles and put them back in the jar. Also, if you come to my house, you should not eat the peanut butter. Unless you don't care that I have definitely like, eaten it from a spoon and stuck the spoon back in.
Just to get some more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that.
But that kind of stuff doesn't bother me. Double dipping, that doesn't bother
like
me.
Like from other people?
Yeah, like if I knew that you had licked a spoon and put it back in your own peanut butter,
yeah,
I'll be like, okay, give me a spoon.
Someone had never asked me this question until recently. I got out a big container of ice cream and they're like, did you eat out of that? Now, mind you, it's not a pint size. It was like a half gallon's worth of ice cream. And I thought, what kind of barbarian do you think I am? But then I remembered, oh yeah, I'm the only one in my house that eats dairy ice cream. Mm. So that question was quite legitimate because I might just dip into my own ice cream with a giant spoon, you know, into my half gallon. But I do not. I still use a scoop.
It's kind of too hard sometimes for a spoon to be effective.
I also don't like holding cold things. Like, it's quite
a large... What do you eat your ice cream out of?
I have a nice, like, large bowl that I'll eat out of, but it has, like, a foot to it. So I can hold on to the foot if I need to with my hand.
I like to eat ice cream out of a mug.
Oh, yes. I like that, too. I've got a few ice cream mugs that are way too big to be coffee mugs. There's no like size standard in the universe for like, oh, this is what a normal coffee mug is like. Cause some merch mugs are huge.
Well, sometimes it is too big to keep the coffee hot for the whole time it's going to take you to eat it. But those are the best ice cream
mugs. It's also what I make my like yogurt and granola breakfast in the morning.
Yeah.
Because I got like, a nice handle.
A good thing for soup. I love a big mug for soup.
Dude, they make some of those bowls that have like little handles on them and it's for soup and you can just like sit there and eat it. It's just so cozy.
Yeah. But if it's I feel like the size of the handle needs to match the size of the vessel because if it's too little, it's useless.
Yes. Like the little ones that they put on maple syrup bottles. Have you seen those on like...
Yeah, hey, actually, Hank Green, who does... He's a scientist and he does stuff on Instagram. Did you see this?
He
recently did one about... Someone asked why that they put this... Still have the little maple handles on the little jars. And he's like, so that it looks like a maple jug.
Yeah. It's great. It
serves no function except replication. I don't know. Okay. I think we're warm. I think we can do it.
Let's go.
This is Be Createful, a podcast about finding fullness through creativity. I'm Joe.
And I'm Madison. And today on episode 110, we're talking about awakening your creativity.
First of all, 110 sounds like a time.
110.
I mean, all of our episodes are a time, but 110 sounds like the time your flight leaves.
Yes. Flight 476 is leaving at 110. And today on episode 110, I wanted to like bring in this concept of like spring and like things are, you know, waking up. So instead of spring awakening, we've got awakening your creativity.
Awakening creativity. Okay. We tried to have a podcast. Well, I tried to have one about different seasons and creativity. And this was kind of the vibe I was going for. And Madison took it as more literal.
Like, yeah, what do you do what during do you do, winter and how, spring?
What do you make during winter? What do you make during spring? We'll put a link to the show notes to that because now I don't remember. It was episode like 25. I don't remember what we actually ended up talking about. We just prepped two different episodes.
And we point to that whenever we talk about.
We do mention that episode a lot where we have to be kind of clear on what we're prepping for a conversation. So, I think we'll be on the same page this time.
It was very clear. So, I came up with some tips that helped me. One moment, hang on. There we go. That's better. That helped me to kind of revitalize my creativity when I need my creative juices to flow and it's just not happening. So, whether you call this writer's block or you know, I'm just not feeling creative right now, or you're just not able to have new ideas. These are some techniques that have worked for me and some for Joe.
Mm. We also have an episode called Getting Unstuck. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the number for that.
Yeah.
So that one might be similar.
Yeah. It might be helpful, but these ones are more about like, you're not like totally stuck, kind of similar to writer's block, however, but like you're just kind of, maybe you're in a rut. Like maybe you're not like totally stuck, but you just need a little oomph.
Your creativity has been dormant through the winter.
Yes.
And you are ready for it to bloom into something new or with spring.
You're looking for a new direction to take your creativity in.
Okay.
Yeah. So my first one is to do or learn something new.
Oh, hey. Yeah, I got that too.
Hey. So this does not just have to be like a new technique or something in your creative field. It's just getting your brain to learn a new system for work, like, you know, a different sort of organization system. Maybe you're learning how to, you know, cook a meal a different sort of way. It can be anything, but just learning how to do something new. And that can often spark even more connections in your brain that allow you to approach other things in a new way.
Yeah, there's something rejuvenating, or like it's like a glow up, right? Or like a there's something exciting about learning something new that falls into this idea of awakening.
Yes. And it can also be just like the fact that you're having a new experience. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not necessarily learning something new, but you are experiencing something in a new way.
Well, and you love a new experience.
I do love me a new experience, but I had to put the caveat in of like learning a new system because, Joe, I know that you are like, I don't want to go out and like try new food, but you do enjoy learning new ways of like looking at data or organizing that data. And I think that is also vital to revitalizing
your creativity. So that leads into one of mine, which is slightly different than like learning something new. It's find a new rabbit hole.
Now, why would you say that?
So if you haven't been around here long, very all or nothing. If you have been around here a while, that will not surprise you. Mm-hmm. I am like all on or all off when it comes to anything. And so if my creativity is in a slump, and if I'm feeling like that itch to do something creative, I will just find something new to dive headfirst into and become totally obsessed with. There's no maybe. It is just... Yeah. You know, what am I going to be obsessed with this week? What is going to keep me up? What am I going to like not be able to get enough of? Mm-hmm. What am I going to binge on YouTube tutorials? Obsession. Yes.
You know, and I think that can even extend into like maybe there's a really like an interesting story you're getting into or a new thing, a new concept that you're learning. Mm-hmm. I often come to Joe and I'm like, so I've been really into watching these specific videos right now. And Joe's like, okay, that's like, I can see the look on her face of like, that's a little strange.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like some people get really into like, maybe there's a trial that's going on or, you know, something like that. And they get really into it or like, man, I've just been really into the aerodynamics of hot air balloons. Did you know? And even though it sounds kind of silly, it's a fascinating conversation, and I think it leads people to creative thinking if you apply that into other areas of your life.
Mm-hmm. And it teaches you how to be open-minded, right? Like how to take on new information, something that is outside of your own experience, and learn from that other person.
Yeah. Nothing is too small or too weird to learn from. So if you're feeling like some shame about like, well, I'm really interested in this and it doesn't seem like that would benefit my creativity, it may not, like in the short term, but perhaps in the long term, it may lead you to some other connections that allow you to
also
think creatively.
Madison would love to geek out with you about whatever niche little nuanced thing
oh my goodness.
You are excited about.
When Andrew was here and talking about his pens, I was like, please tell me more about your pens.
And I left part of that conversation in. I did not leave the whole conversation in because it was a really long time of us talking about his fountain pens.
Nothing is more engaging to me than someone who is obsessing over something new. Mm-hmm. Like one time I met a guy, like it was the first time I ever met this guy. And he's like, I'm really into watching like people solving Sudoku on YouTube. And I said, excuse me?
Like, you know what? That's funny because I have totally watched
yes!
those videos.
He's like, it's relaxing, but also like, it's very interesting. And I was like, do tell. And he was just talking about it and was just like,
what's
yeah.
cool about those videos is you get to see into someone's logic.
Uh-huh.
And when they start to talk about it, you think, of course, that makes so much sense. But I would never have gotten there. It is fascinating to watch someone else work out a problem, to show their work.
Well, if I see that gentleman again, I'll let him know that he's not alone in
no.
watching those videos.
Yeah, that's so funny because I went through a phase, probably at least a month, where I would watch someone play Sudoku every night before I went to bed.
Hey,
was I playing Sudoku?
No.
No.
Yeah.
But I was just watching someone else do it.
There you go. So that was
find a
yours.
New rabbit hole.
And that I think watching someone else do something leads beautifully into my next tip, which is to talk to someone who is doing the creative work that you want to do. Now, I'm going to expand on this a little bit more, that it doesn't just have to be talking to someone. It's more like engaging with someone
okay.
is probably a better way to put it. Maybe you watch some Instagram reels of someone who's engaging in the creative work you want to do, and you get to see how they do it. Maybe there's someone in your creative community that you can grab coffee with or have a Zoom call with, that you can learn from them what they're doing. And you may not copy them, but you might find, oh, well, this is what's worked for them. What if I can find another way to work?
Do you have an example of when this has happened for you?
So, I mean, like, this happens a lot with you and I, Joe, when you're talking about, like, a way that you think about your time, like, what times work best for you, like, when you are at the most, you know, not creative, but like,
well,
when
you could
to,
say there are times when I'm the most creative. There's times when I'm more productive. There's times when I'm like,
that's yeah. not something that I would have thought about had I not talked to someone else about it, or engaged with someone else. I mean, when I'm on Instagram and scrolling through, I've got a few art teachers that are on there that are like,
yeah.
hey, have you thought about having your kids paint this way and using these tools? And although those exact tools may not work for make do, it allows me to think outside the box of, oh, if you can figure out, you know, 5 or 6 different ways to use these condiment caddies for use in art class, what things do we already have around the studio that I can use to better streamline what we're already doing?
Okay, well, I think that's a good point that you're bringing up. That is also to do with your work. So I think that this conversation can expand beyond, well, we always have an expansive view when it comes to what counts as creativity or, and whatnot. Sometimes, though, we can feel like we're in a creative rut with whatever our hobby is. So let's
sure.
say it's with sewing, and I can feel like I'm in a rut. But if I can find ways to expand my creativity or get out of a rut outside of my thing, so mm-hmm. maybe that's at work, then it can unlock the creativity
yes.
that I'm stuck on too. And so, a lot of the things you mentioned have to do not with your own personal creativity, mm-hmm. but with maybe awakening some creativity in your work.
Yes.
So that could be like a, maybe I'm adding on to what you're talking about, but.
Yeah. And as far, like, it can also be in your personal hobby. There's a lovely young lady I follow on Instagram, and she makes these patchwork dresses, and I love them, but I don't like this. Like, I wouldn't purchase one of her dresses because it's just not my style. But I'm like, how can I introduce that fun process while also saving fabric at the same time? And so it has thus inspired me to kind of get out of my own creative rut and to make something that is Probably something I wouldn't have made on my own, but like right. it's bringing some new joy into my sewing yeah. room.
Well, and now we have a teen who started working on a patchwork skirt for a play that they're doing.
I know. I'm so excited.
I love it.
It's fabulous.
Okay. That idea leads me, man, we are just like some two tourists in DC on the segways.
You know, we should enjoy these moments when we are like, when it's like a beautiful game of tennis where we're like, huh.
Except it's like if D&D and tennis were together, where none of us are trying to win, it's collaborative.
I love that. See, carry on, Joe. I'm enjoying this yeah. conversation.
I have had a lot of coffee today. I don't know if that is a part of it. Also, I have not had much food.
Oh, boy. Here we go. So, what's your next?
I forgot what I was talking about.
Okay.
So inspiration.
There you go.
I wrote down paint chips.
Your friends? Okay, so friends, dear listeners, let me tell you. So I'm picking out, this is a tangent, I'm picking out paint colors for my bedroom, and Joe's like, oh, do you need some of my friends? And pulls out like a stack of paint chips that's got to be like 4.5 inches tall of just paint chips. She's like, my friends. And I'm like, Joe, what do you mean your friends? And it's just all the colors of the rainbow.
Also, I think what I said was, I need to take my friends home. I've been missing
yes.
them. Because I brought my friends to the studio for the color theory workshop that I taught.
Yes.
I have an obsession with paint chips.
Yeah.
I think I've mentioned it here before.
If you don't know, now you know.
I don't call them by name.
No, no. There's no nicknames yet.
No. Well, they have names.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't know we were getting offended about...
They already have been given a name.
Yes. Yes, Joe, they have.
And a number.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I love paint chips. Mm-hmm. And I, when I'm going to Lowe's, I'll just walk by and be like, I don't know that I've seen that one before, and just grab some. I get them in multiples because then I put them into different pairs and tape them up around my house. Right now, they actually are all collected, and you put a rubber band on them so yes. that they're all staying together.
So all of your friends can be together.
But when they're at my house, they'll be just in little piles.
Like, yes, they're in her key bowl. They're like over there on like on a counter. Some of them are on the wall. Or yeah. like when I rode in your car that one time, you're like, oh, yeah, it's in the glove box. And I open it up, and there's paint chips in the glove box.
They're probably in a lot of places in my car. There probably were some over on the passenger side door,
yes.
too.
Yes.
They are... I'll just have them like stacked up in a little color family or yeah. color story mm-hmm. on a piece of furniture.
Yes.
They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. So when I'm feeling, it's not even stuck, but like when I'm just feeling blue, I play with them.
Yes.
I will arrange them. And I like to do the same thing with fabric. It's just that it's easier with paint chips.
Yes, because they're smaller. They don't fray.
Yeah. Like one of the happiest things was when Sherwin-Williams gave us a paint deck and they told me that I didn't have to bring it back.
Yeah, it was so nice.
And if I could get a whole set of the paint chips, I would love that.
Okay.
I probably have about a third of them already.
Probably.
But there's some colors I don't gravitate toward.
No, you're not going to go to the, like the 50 different shades of white that they have.
No. But sometimes that's what you need
yeah.
to fill in, like when you're playing with them. So anyway, okay, I wrote paint chips. But what I meant was...
Yes.
Find out what that thing is for you. So what is it that, maybe it's books and you like to rearrange your books on your bookshelf mm-hmm. or, your furniture and you like to play and move it around or fabric or,
let me tell you what hit me the other day. I went to a grocery store, like a ways outside of town, and they had a bunch of vegetables there that I don't normally see. And I'm like, oh, I can make this. Oh, and I can do this. And I came home and I made 3 dinners in one day. Yeah. So like, I don't have to cook anymore. But yeah, like whatever that thing is, whether it's going somewhere and like seeing all the materials laid out in front of you, or maybe it's taking a walk outside and that's what helps you to get inspired.
It's like play or imagination or something. I think about where I would want to paint those colors together. Like mm-hmm. if I was going to make a mural, what would it look like? Or, oh, this would make a really cool rug. Or, oh, there's all kinds of things in my mind that I'm doing with the paint chips. And so it's almost like when I was young and we would get our Barbies out and play yes. and you're making your Barbies talk to each other and you work out this whole situation in your head. That's how I feel about as an adult. That's like the adult version of my paint chips.
Yes. Well, I think this is where window shopping could potentially be beneficial. Yes. It's like yes. you're looking like, oh, I could do this with that. Wait, do I have something at home that's like that? Or like, oh, do I need to go and get something like that in order to, you know, whatever. It's just that whatever sparks connections in your brain.
Now, I almost wrote Pinterest down at the same time as this. Mm-hmm. However, I think Pinterest can lead to overwhelm and a paralysis.
Yes.
That keeps you stuck. So if you find Pinterest inspiring, maybe you have a board where you're not like pinning particular projects. It's just like a mood vibe. Or a vibe. Yes. Right. Maybe you go to that board. It's just surrounding yourself with things that are really colorful and inspiring. Or maybe yes. you don't like color. Maybe you like texture and neutrals and all of that. It is having kind of an inspo board that is not tied to a particular project. So when I'm talking about my paint chips, mm-hmm. sometimes I am working on a particular project. But I also have...
No, you've got paint chips that you've probably never used yeah. in your house or wanted to use, yeah. but you just like playing with the color. Yeah. Yes, I think going to Pinterest is like trying to go to a thrift shop or like a charity shop and just being overwhelmed with all of mm-hmm. the choice. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to go in with what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm looking for a pair of jeans today. And then you can go through. Like right now, I'm looking at ways to decorate my hallway, but I know I would like to put a rug in there. Mm. So I typed in hallway rug. And that has allowed me to like figure out what I want versus like what to do with the hallway and getting inundated with ideas right. that I may not want or, you know, even find inspiring.
Yeah.
So like that one a lot. Very nice.
So, okay. What's yours? The next
one. This one's more about kind of controlling your environment. So cleaning your space. Mm-hmm. So this could be cleaning your computer, because if you're anything like me, you keep all of your files and you need to like organize them and kind of go through them and make sure that your computer is clean. But it could
Can
also
I interrupt you about the computer? I just learned this from someone who's in like a nonprofit cohort yeah. that I'm part of, and they have a folder on their desktop that's just like their desktop dumpster folder.
Oh.
And so, you know, you always take screenshots or save stuff mm-hmm. to there. And some things you need quick access to, but then it like builds up really fast. So, but you maybe don't want to delete it, but you don't have anywhere that you want to put it. Mm-hmm. So I just made a folder that says like desktop dump and I drag everything into it. Mm-hmm. And it has cleared up my desktop, but everything is still there.
Yeah. It's available to you.
And then I still have things on my desktop, some screenshots that I'm currently might need. So they haven't gone into the desktop mm-hmm. dump yet. But anyway,
I love that. I love That's that too. Yeah. Excellent tip. But just whatever your workspace that you are doing your creative work in, giving that a nice little facelift mm-hmm. or cleaning it up will not only let you know what you have, because going through your stuff will like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. I could use that here. But it will also make you like give you that space to be able to think. Because sometimes it's not the blank page that's keeping you or like, you know, keeping you in that rut. It's more of there's too much stuff, mm-hmm. too much noise, visual noise or whatever it is.
Yeah. I wrote get rid of clutter, which is in the same lines.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I think Pinterest can actually be a detriment because there is so much noise. Sometimes I will go to boards that I have and clean them out. Like what's no longer serving me?
Oh, yes.
What do I not like anymore? And just delete those pins. And you can just, you are allowed to get rid of things. You do mm-hmm. not have to hold on to everything.
Exactly. What I love about Pinterest now is they have places where you can do subboards, like you can organize your boards into little subsections. And so I went through and did that for a lot of things. I was like, oh, I don't like this anymore. And was able to mm-hmm. clear through. And it's kind of funny how, like, even though I don't think about my Pinterest all the time, but when I go back through, I'm like, oh, yeah, now I can actually find the inspiration I want. You can do the same with your social media. If your social media is not feeding you in the ways that you want it to, you can go and clean that up and be like, I like this person, but I no longer find their content either uplifting or like I don't need to really see it anymore. You can unfollow people.
Yeah. You can also mute them if it's personal.
Oh, yeah. If it's somebody, you know. Yeah. So for sure, you can get rid of some things.
I love getting rid of things.
You do.
Yeah. I'm not sentimental.
Yeah.
I'll be like, throw that away.
It's always been a journey for me to want to get rid of, like, oh, what can I let go of and things. But I do like the rule of if you can, what is it, like drive 20 minutes and get it for $20 and you haven't used it in a year, you can get rid of it.
Yeah.
So if you need to buy it again, I'm like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And also that whole change your mind idea where like, okay, at some point this was important to you. It is no longer important to you. You can let it go.
Gosh, I was just talking to my sister about this. I'm at the point where I think, do I keep my backpacking stuff or do I start to get rid of it? Because I haven't used it in 4 years, 5 years. I have a water filter that is still in the box. Like I never even took it out and used it. But that was such a big part of who I want, the type of person I want to be. Mm. And so do I hang on to it because, it's a lot of money invested in really good gear, but which also becomes obsolete because they come out with the better gear. And it's living in a closet that it's not in my way, but it still is kind of in my way in my mind. You know what I mean?
Are you having like trouble like kind of accepting that that's not a part of you regularly?
Yeah. Well, and then, so if I get rid of it, but it becomes part of me again, then it's not something you can get for $20.
Yes.
I don't know. So I'm hanging on to it right now, but it's also kind of like just a reminder of a part of me that might not exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of sad.
That is. But I think even just like going back and like opening up that closet and being like, and thinking about it and shutting it is kind of important because you're reevaluating those pieces of yourself.
Yeah.
Man, how personal does like sometimes like cleaning and getting rid of things can get? It's wild.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it just has a smell. Like the gear just has a smell. I don't know. Anyway, that was kind of a downer.
That's all right. But I think it shows
getting rid of clutter. That's what you're talking about.
I think it goes to show that you might be a slight tad sentimental.
Maybe.
Perhaps not in the conventional sense.
Right. And it's not necessarily sentiment. I don't think that sentiment is ever to do with the thing. It's always like the memories and stuff along with it, right? Mm-hmm. But, my mom will say, hey, I'm saving this for you, something. And I finally have said, anything that you have, you can throw away
because
I don't know.
You're not thinking about it.
Yeah. And I'm not sentimental like that. Like, I don't need my, I don't know, something from when I was in second grade. I don't care.
Some journal or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. So I said was like cleaning up your space, whether it's digital, social.
I said get rid of clutter.
Space, and you said get rid of
clutter. So now it's back to you.
Cool. All right. Getting a little change in your environment. So this also has to go back to like having some control of your surroundings, but not just cleaning. Sometimes in order to get revitalized, you either need to change your environment or you just need to get out of your typical environment for a little while. So some people might say, oh, you can go for a walk, but it might be you need to rearrange your space. My husband loves to rearrange furniture. Because he's like, oh, this just has a different vibe now. Maybe you need to paint your walls a different color. Or maybe you need to, like, go and work at a coffee shop for a hot, 4 hours or whatever. And,
just do your work at a coffee shop.
Yes.
Not go be employed by a coffee shop.
Yeah.
I was thinking, how do you just go work at a coffee shop for 4 hours?
Just for four hours.
I misheard how you were saying that sentence.
Yeah, just, like, work. Do your work at a coffee shop or, some other, a library, wherever, just to kind of shake things up a little bit. And if people aren't your thing, then maybe, moving around your office is enough or just changing things. Because sometimes you just kind of get used to seeing the same things over and over again.
I think that's what is exciting about spring in nature is that it opens up the outside mm-hmm. in a way that where we live is only open for a very short time. It's either too hot, too cold, too humid, too buggy, whatever. But spring and fall are such nice times for just being outside. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yes.
All right. What's okay. So we've talked about doing something new. I think an alternative to that is to do something familiar. So sometimes when I'm feeling a little dormant, I don't need the mental work and the creative gamble that it takes to do something new. I just need to do something that I like already know that I love, that is very familiar, that I can do on autopilot. And maybe if I need something new, maybe I'm playing with some new colors or a new technique, or maybe I'm just going through the physical motions of doing that thing that I know is going to pay off in the end. And then it's like a comfort.
So project. It's like giving you the little boost that you need of confidence to be able to then go and tackle something that might be more creatively difficult.
Yeah. Or I don't know that it's even confidence, because it might not be a, I don't know if I can do this, I need the confidence. I think it could be, I know I need to do something creative. I'm going to do this thing that never lets me down.
Mm-hmm.
Or like for dinner when I know I need to eat something.
Mm-hmm.
But oh my gosh, I know a frozen pizza will always make me satisfied. So, you know, you can't just eat frozen pizza every night. Mm-hmm. And maybe that, even if you could, even if it was healthy, it might not be satisfying long term over and over. So maybe what you need is something new, or maybe what you need is just to get back in the groove and back in the motion of being creative. And so doing something that feels familiar is taking away a lot of the choice that might be too overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the like decision making or the newness, or where that just is more barriers where you could get stuck. So if you do something that you could do with your eyes closed, it just gets you back in the muscle memory of being creative.
This makes me think about maybe some people getting back into things or like creative things that they did as kids that, you know, like, you know, maybe I could just buy a coloring book, or maybe I'll just, you know, make those friendship bracelets again, just to do something that you know that you're good at and you can just get through it and be like, oh, that was cool.
Yeah.
Something, maybe perhaps something you haven't done in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that.
That leads into my next one. So I'm just going to jump on in.
Have at it.
Is to take on a quick win. So before, yes, when I was talking about doing something familiar, that's not necessarily, it might be for me, hey, you know what? I really just need to get back to my roots and mm-hmm. make a quilt. Mm-hmm. That's not a quick win. It would take a long time. So this is a little different. It might be that I need to just make something start to finish so that I can feel the accomplishment of the creativity, so that I could have confidence if that's what's getting me stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Doing something that you know you can do quickly in a couple hours or in one sitting, whatever the quick looks like to you. That's relative. Do something, a quick win.
Yes. You know, this actually gets me thinking about something else that I'm doing right now. Not only am I doing something that's a little bit faster for me to do and that's easy and quick at home in my own personal sewing, but I'm also doing something. Oh no, now I'm going to lose it. I don't know. It left.
That's okay.
Dadnabbit. It was flowing. I should have had a second cup of coffee.
You can have the last drinks of mine. It's too cold now.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Everybody deserves warm coffee mm-hmm. and warm tea.
That's right.
Yes. So what were you saying again?
Take on a quick win. That was
taking on a quick win. Yeah.
You should have another one, right?
I do have another one. Now it's going to bug me what I was going to say.
It's okay. Talk and then maybe I'll come back.
All right. So my last one is find your time that you're most creative. For me, it happens to be the morning time. For you, it happens to be late at night.
Mm-hmm.
But find the time that works for you and try to get whatever you want to do creatively during that time, if you can.
Yeah.
So it's just recognizing your own body's rhythms as far as like creativity is concerned, and try to play to your strengths.
I also don't have to, because I don't share space with someone else, I don't have to clean up any messes that I make. So right now, there are several DIY projects that are in process.
Yes.
So that is a hurdle that I don't have to both be creative and then clean up after it. I don't have to have the energy for both.
Yeah.
So maybe you can find a space that exists for you where you can like make a mess and leave it for a minute.
Yeah. Finding creative time also means finding the time to actually do the creative thing, making space for yourself to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Hey, I remembered what I was going to say.
Oh, see, I told you.
You're right. It would come back. So right now I'm in the middle of making something that I know is not going to be like the prettiest thing I've ever made or that, you know, people are going to comment on and other people are going to like, but I'm enjoying making it.
Mm.
And honestly, I'm getting my ugly dress vibes from this project that I'm working on. But it's making me happy.
When you say your ugly dress vibes, you mean the orange and gray one?
The orange and gray one. That really wasn't that bad, but I don't like. It's giving me those sorts of vibes, but now I'm giving myself the grace to be like, but it's what you need right now. You want to be working on this, and you're having fun doing it, and maybe you'll get a wearable piece of clothing out of this, and it's going to be okay if it's weird. It kind of goes back to our previous...
What is it?
It's a patchwork dress that I'm working on, but it is loud and vibrant. And I think I will like it better than the gray and orange dress, but I know it will not be one of those dresses that people are like, oh, this is stunning. It's my favorite dress on you. Or like, I won't get stopped.
I think kids will like it though.
I think they will too. So, yeah, sometimes just letting whatever your creative project, like whatever it needs to be, if it's going to be bad, just let it be bad. And sometimes that's just what it takes to keep your creative spark like
also
alive.
Because who are you creating for? So when you're making a dress, you're not only making dresses so that other people will stop you on the street and comment on them.
Very rarely am I making a dress like that. Sometimes I do make a dress because I want to feel pretty and oftentimes they will overlap with what people are like, oh, that's such a fabulous dress. But sometimes what I think will give me that feeling of like, oh, yes, this feels great, will be someone's like, that looks like a crazy woman's dress.
Yeah.
And they would be half right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't create just for the sake of other people's viewing. I do it for my own feeling and my own well-being.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes because of our connection with things needing, the way we spend our time needs to be productive because we're told time is money. You can never get it back. Use it wisely.
Yeah.
And
I could be spending this time working on something that would be like classy and I'm going to wear for a while.
Right. It can feel risky.
But right now in my life, what I need is this fun, wild feeling, and making this dress is giving me all that stuff.
Yeah. Your creativity doesn't have to be, there doesn't have to be any productivity
Lord
connected
knows
to your creativity
I have enough
at all.
Clothes.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, you need to be working on something you actually need. I'm not.
Mm-mm.
Very rarely am I doing that. So.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got. That's all you got. You got
that's
something
else? That's all I got.
That felt rapid fire to me. I know we've been talking for a while, but man, I feel like we were like, woo-hoo-hoo in the mood of conversation.
This is kind of a short episode.
Oh.
Yeah.
Has it been less than 30 minutes?
No, it hasn't.
How long has it been? Has it been 37 minutes?
You would be right on the dot.
I love hearing that. Okay.
It just turned to like 38, like right as you were saying that, but it was still 37 when you said it.
That counts.
Do you mind pausing for a second? Yeah. My mic has slowly been lowering and lowering, and I've had to crouch.
Yeah, fix it. I'll talk to the people while you fix your microphone. People... what do you want to say? It is weird to talk to the people when they can't talk back. Are you done?
I think so.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, that's more comfortable.
It was a very engaging conversation I had with the people. What's your sweet?
My sweet is that... Oh, I'm getting... Oh, hang on. That was my learn. Hold on. Here we go, my sweet. Okay. I'm seeing my mom and my sister here soon. We're going to go on our first ever girls' trip.
That's exciting.
Yeah, so I'm very excited.
What are y'all
going
to do, Dino?
When my mom, my sister, and I like to get together, we like to chat about stuff. We like to eat delicious food. And we usually like to do a little bit of thrift shopping. So that's pretty much all we're going to do.
Do you have a destination?
Yeah, we're going to Hot Springs.
Fun, fun.
So that means I get to visit one of my favorite vintage stores here in Arkansas, Stella Mays. We're not sponsored, but like I love their, they have more of like a rockabilly vibe. Mm. It's a little edgy, but they have like petticoats and scarves and cool dresses.
Fun.
I love it.
My sweet, I had two and then I thought of more when I, went to the bathroom before we started recording, but now I forgot what those were.
Oh, no.
The studio has been really clean. I feel like the last few days, like the last week or so.
Really? Because I have felt like it's a flipping disaster.
Well, I don't know. I feel like, ever since we cleaned up for my mystery quilt class last week, and then it's just kind of felt when I walk in. I don't know. It just felt nice.
Well, good. I guess I'm doing my job then.
Well, it's not just your job to clean up messes that I make too. Yeah, yeah. But and today it's rainy and it's cold enough that I needed a sweater. And it just makes me happy because the hot weather is coming and I don't want it to. And so every day that it's cold between now and next October, I just will really love it.
Yes. Giving you that little extra oomph. Mm-hmm. I feel that too. You know, actually, today was one of the days where I don't mind it raining. I was good with the rain on the window. I'm enjoying my second cup of tea. Mm-hmm. It's just when it stays like this for like probably 2 or 3 days in a row that I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
Oh, I just love it.
Yeah. It's good stuff. All right. Here's my sour. Have you ever like fallen asleep and like you've either like bitten yourself in your sleep or you've gotten like your... like the side of your cheek has been pressed into your teeth or your tongue has been pressed into your teeth and it like creates like a sore spot. I'm guessing by the look on your face, it's never happened to you.
I don't think so. I have fallen asleep when I've had like a peppermint in my mouth or something and then it makes it almost like how your fingers get wrinkly if they're in water too long and that's what it does to the inside of your cheek.
Yeah.
No, I've never bitten myself in my sleep.
So I thought it would go away after one day, but I guess I've done something where like the side of my cheek got in between my teeth and there's like this like kind of sore ridge and you know how it is. Whenever you bite yourself or eat something in your mouth, you can't stop touching it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got that on like on the side of my cheek.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not that big of a sour, but I'm like, man, I got this thing on the side of my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I will wake up because my ears will be hurting because I've been like laying on my ear funny.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I didn't write down a sour, but I think if I just had to say one, it would be that I'm having a hard time focusing.
You've been going down some rabbit holes lately.
Yeah, I'm just having a hard time calming my brain down and focusing on whatever task is in front of me. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. I don't want to be doing it.
Yeah. You want to be doing other things.
I want to be doing something else. Playing with my friends.
It can feel almost maddening when your mind is focused on one thing and you have to like focus on everything else. It almost, to me, it almost feels like I'm having like an out-of-body experience. And then when I look back on the things that I did while I was having that out-of-body experience, I'm like, was I even a person? Was I?
Yeah.
Did I do things okay when I was?
No.
Being that way, I felt out of control.
Yeah, I feel out of control right now.
Yeah. All right. Here is what I'm learning. I am playing with a lot of different patterns and doing a lot of like clothing pattern hacks recently.
Ooh.
Which has been cool, but I just feel like I have the confidence to be able to do that now. And I've also am lucky enough to have the resources to be able to play around with some things. We've gotten some fabric donations in the past of just stuff that's like just
yeah,
some cheap
not useful
cotton.
For the studio.
Yeah. And so that's allowed me to, it's given me the resources to be able to play around more with things that I would like to do.
Fun.
So that's been fun. I've also been learning about this thing in crochet called color pooling with like variegated yarn. And I really want to try it super bad.
Yeah. So variegated yarn is where the yarn changes colors. And so you were saying the color pooling is where you make the colors of the yarn go in certain places in your project.
Yes.
On
and
purpose.
You end up with this cool pattern that only requires you to change yarn whenever you run out of the next skein, however you say that. So, yeah, I'm really excited. I want to go to Hobby Lobby so bad and, like, pick some out.
Yeah. You know we probably have some here.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we do. Have to look through that.
We probably have a whole 7 buckets of yarn here.
What about
okay,
you?
I guess I'm learning some patience, maybe.
Oh, are you learning patience or are you having to suffer through some patience?
I'm having to suffer through some patience.
I know. Well, something that you shared with me earlier was talking about, like, when we were talking about, like, what did we say? one of our infamous episodes of urgent versus important. And you were talking about like compass. You've been learning that we're going in the general direction that we need.
So what Madison is talking about is, and I learned this, I did not make it up for myself, but there's three ways that you can look at your time and your priorities. So there's the clock that determines your day-to-day time, like how are you actually living your life moment to moment.
Yes.
There is your calendar that is what's coming up in the next month or so. So that's going to be compass of your life. What is mm-hmm. the direction that you are going in? And so some things that are connected to your compass might actually take a long time for you to see any payoff on those. Mm-hmm. So that's what Madison's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like an example would be when it comes to make do, I never wanted to teach kid classes, but like I do want to have a place where we can eventually do retreats of some sort. So is the fact that we're doing kids classes and not focusing on having a retreat space, does that mean make do is like headed in a completely different direction than I set out to be? And I mean, I guess time will tell,
Yes. But
that would be a compass situation. Yeah. Like, are we still achieving the same, like, long-term?
Yeah.
Headed in that same direction.
I mean, because that is to say that, there's not really a cutoff to some of those compass things. It's
right.
Like, eventually we would like to get there.
Right. Even though James Clear, in his book Atomic Habits, talks about how if a plane is off even by 2 degrees in LA, yes. then if it's headed to New York, it's going to end up in Florida. So, your compass is important, but mm-hmm. also that plane would see, oh, our compass is not pointed to New York.
Yes.
We need to readjust.
Yeah. Also, it doesn't take like once you've pointed it in the right direction, you're not going to get there in 2 minutes. It's still going to take time to get there, even if you're headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
So I'm learning to just, sometimes you have to, well, all the time you got to live by the clock, not the compass.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? So.
Yeah.
And it's not helpful to just stare at the compass all the time.
This is true.
While the clock is ticking by.
Yeah. Well, short and sweet today.
Yeah.
Hope y'all enjoyed it.
I wonder if we were talking faster.
Maybe we were. Maybe it's the extra tea and coffee.
I do feel amped up. So I don't know. If you're listening and we sound like we're talking faster, let us know.
Yeah. If you're listening on 2x speed, do we sound like chipmunks now?
Yeah. Did you have to slow us down? Probably not. We were probably talking normal.
Yeah. All right.
Did we even hit 50 minutes? I don't think we did.
No, we didn't.
Hey, look at that. Now you've got all this extra time in your day. What are you going to do with it not listening to us? Go find another episode. We mentioned a lot, so I will try to remember to link all of those in the show notes.
Yes.
Anything that might be relevant.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, same time next week, y'all.
Get your creative juices flowing.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson. That's Hudson with a T. Or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at Make Do Create or on Facebook at Make Do Cersei. And visit our website, makedocreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things.